Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, here's four words I didn't think I would be saying on Call to Action Radio anytime soon. But thank you, Lady Gaga. How about that? Thank you, Lady Gaga. Yeah, that's surprising even me. Trust me, I was not expecting that I'd be saying, like, thank you, Lady Gaga. But yet here I am. Hats off. I have a hat on. I would take it off, except I'd have to pull my headphones off. So, you know, figuratively, hats off to Lady Gaga. Thank you, Lady Gaga. Not exactly what we were expecting. And another great lesson in the way we operate, myself included, on social media, just assuming the worst, grabbing a hold of all the stories that feed our own personal worldview, our own preconceived notions, our own feelings about the nature of truth and reality. And so this just happened the other day. Of course, a huge Super Bowl game last night. And I don't know if you're a football fan or not. I used to be a much bigger football fan. I used to be a much bigger sports fan in general when I lived in Chicago, because I was there during 1985, when the Chicago Bears, the Bears, won the Super Bowl. And then I was there for five of the six Bulls championships with His Highness Michael Jordan. And then, but after that, when I moved to Columbus, Ohio, and then moved eventually here to Raleigh, North Carolina, I just, you know, it just kind of went away for me. I've been a busy guy. I have a family, all that kind of stuff. And sports was never a big enough issue to me that I was an enthusiastic fan. I'd pay attention to every once in a while. I'd watch a game every once in a while, but it wasn't a big deal. So last night over at some folks from our small group at church, and just a great time. It started at, you know, 4:30 and Eastern time, and just having fun, and then decided, no, let's watch the game. First quarter, totally boring, right? And everybody expecting, I guess Tom Brady is the easiest guy in America to hate for a lot of people, perhaps just because he's a winner and he's good looking. He's got a supermodel wife and a huge house in California. I don't know. But you know, first quarter, boring. Second quarter, okay, hey, look, the Atlanta Falcons, this might be a blowout. Third quarter, think, oh, maybe the momentum's going to change here. And, of course, the fourth quarter, one of the most memorable fourth quarters in the history of the Super Bowls, 51 years and counting, and just a remarkable thing. But what about the commercials? We'll talk about that. I want to talk about 84 Lumber, their commercial, and Airbnb, their commercial, because who's going to miss out on an opportunity to make a political statement with one of the biggest audiences in television, which was like 120 million people, 112 million people, 120 million people watching last night. And Lady Gaga, so I posted a story on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, late last week, that there were a bunch of quote-unquote reports coming out that Lady Gaga was going to go all political. She's a very liberal person and, you know, real big on the LGBTQ community and all kinds of stuff like that, and definitely not a Trump supporter. And so it wouldn't be the first time. Beyonce, remember that last year, the Black Panthers whole thing she did, and that was disgusting. But so, you know, you're assuming. It's so easy to assume, is it not? It's so easy to assume that, you know, I saw the story. I'm like, all these stories coming out about Lady Gaga might be going a little gaga over the Super Bowl halftime show and going all political. And so I put that article up there, and a lot of people were watching it and commenting on it. Really, a lot of comments just last Thursday or Friday. And you know, lo and behold, Sunday comes along last night. So, you know, because of what I do, because I'm going to be on the radio, I watch things. Other people won't choose to watch them, and I get that. But, I'm like, I got to watch it because I got to see what happens because I got to talk about it. So I did watch it. And from the opening of this little, you know, God bless America and this land is your land, a little pledge of allegiance, even one nation under God, from Lady Gaga up there on top of the stadium. And then she, you know, does her halftime show. And lo and behold, other than Born This Way, which is a really popular song of hers that came out several years ago, and you can run with that in an obvious direction, Born This Way. Other than that, no political commentary whatsoever. I didn't dig into all of her lyrics. I'm not going to take my time to do that. But you know, just completely blew off the whole political thing. So people on the left are slamming her today, and people on the right probably aren't giving her any credit, as we should. And so I put a story up earlier on Facebook. I'm like, hey, you know what? Thank you, Lady Gaga. So this is Ben Shapiro, a great writer, a great conservative. Lady Gaga shuns politics at Super Bowl, so the left slams her. So he kind of starts talking about during the Super Bowl, Lady Gaga shocked the world by not taking an enormous political dump all over the stage. On and on he goes, but she didn't go political, and she didn't. And let's give her credit for that. It was, the beginning with the God Bless America and This Land Is Your Land, you know, which you can find some questionable thoughts behind This Land Is Your Land. But, you know, it didn't appear to me that that's what she was trying to do. And most people would never figure it out, even if she were. And then, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, then she jumps off and they lower her down with the cable, the whole Spider-Man thing and all the rest of it. But then she didn't do it. Now, I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan. You could probably guess that. And, I thought her outfit, I was like, okay, it's not the the most modest thing in the world, and it kind of reminds me of Depends, but you know, whatever. That's pop culture and pop music, and that's just the world we live in. But I was grateful that she didn't take advantage of the situation to dump all of her own political views out there. She was just an entertainer, and do entertainers have free speech rights? Of course they do. But when you're playing to a mixed audience, you're in Houston, Texas. And everybody's expecting it, especially in the political climate we're in today. I think she took the high road, and so did Ed Shapiro here. But he was talking about Ben Shapiro. He was talking about Mikhail Wood from the Los Angeles Times said this: Lady Gaga misses her Super Bowl moment to say something profound. The 30-year-old singer offered up a disappointing 12-minute medley that lacked any edge or tension. You'd wish she'd taken it more of what was going on off stage. So, you know, if you don't take advantage of the situation to spew your political stuff when you have a huge stage, obviously all of a sudden the left isn't so happy with one of their own. Chris Richards at the Washington Post: Lady Gaga calls herself a rebel, but at the Super Bowl she played it safe. Commenting Beyonce's ridiculous pro-Black Panthers routine at the Super Bowl last year, Richards wrote, "With a forceful elegance, Beyonce had set a precedent for what would be done on this stage musically and politically. By comparison, Gaga whiffed." Oh, that's not too nice, talking about one of their own. Piet Levy of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: Gaga's overwrought performance overshadowed a potentially meaningful moment. And the word safe appears in reviews from Variety, the New York Daily News, which said she landed flat, and Newsday, and a bevy of other outlets. So they may be upset that she didn't take advantage of all of us to share her own political views in an entertainment arena. But this conservative Christian who's so far to the right, who's about to fall off the flat earth, I say thank you, Lady Gaga.
What would make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, magnified.
Just in case you didn't hear it, I started the show with four words I didn't think I'd ever say here on Call to Action Radio. Thank you, Lady Gaga. She didn't take the easy way out on the Super Bowl halftime show last night. Didn't get all political, and I appreciate that. I put up some articles about it, and let's all make sure, I was talking about this recently, and I need to double down on this myself, that, just don't assume. I mean, how much of what we see is actually true in terms of things on Facebook, things on Twitter? You know, we got the whole fake news cycle now, and we have to worry about that. And now there's very little journalism. It's mostly just commentary. I don't do journalism on this show. I do commentary. I am pushing a certain agenda, a certain perspective, a conservative biblical worldview. And that's the deal. That's what I'm here to do. That's what I feel led to do. That's what I've been educated to do and enabled to do and filled by the Holy Spirit to do. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not hiding that from anybody. But it's just so the story last week, oh, it's going to go south. She's going to be all anti-Trump. And that just didn't happen. And I think, you know, some of us are probably disappointed by that. We all love to have an enemy. You certainly see that with the anti-Trump, the pro-Trump. We just love to have enemies. That's the way we've been conditioned in the last 20 years here in this country. And if you're a Christ follower, as I try to be myself, I'm certainly in the faith and a born-again Christian and not a perfect follower of Christ, but a follower of the perfect Christ, then we need to do better. Don't you think? I think we need to do better. And so, that's why I turned it around and posted the articles today on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, to say, hey, listen, let's give her credit where credit would due. But then there's jerks out there, and I was guilty of this. I saw, you're watching Lady Gaga. I don't know if you saw that. during the halftime show. And she doesn't have, like, perfect six-pack abs. I mean, the woman's obviously in great shape. She can dance around and sing and do all that stuff. But not perfect, like, Victoria's Secret, what they sell you on Instagram as the body that a woman has to achieve in order to be something. And so people started slamming that. And I was like, really? So people on Twitter, did Lady Gaga put on a few pounds since the last time they had her in that outfit? Here's another one. Is this a bad time to say Gaga could lose 5 to 7 pounds? Here's another one. Lady Gaga had a little gut in her. It's the Super Bowl, not the Super Roll. Ha, ha, ha. And other people, you know, came back hitting on that stuff, which is good. But let's just, I mean, I'd have to check myself because, you know, during the Super Bowl, I'm getting rid of that story. During the Super Bowl, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, yeah, look, Lady Gaga, not in perfect shape. And then my mind started to go, well, you know, let's make a joke about that. Then, you know, the Lord stopped me. And I'm like, really, really, Steve, you're perfect. And she's obviously healthy. But this is the world we live in now. We're so quick to just blast off, to denigrate one another, to dehumanize one another, to call names and do all that stuff. It's just, you know, and I'm not your judge. God is your judge. I'm not your judge. But I know that I struggle with it, too. I just say things offhandedly that I shouldn't say. And for a Christian, I can do all these great things on the air. I can help ministries like Harvest Crusades. I can do all this stuff. But 1 Corinthians 13, if I don't have love, I'm just a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. It's all worthless. So that was a good check for me to go, hey, listen, let's be honest and give Lady Gaga some cred for what she did and what she didn't do. And then for people that are going to slam her because she doesn't have a perfect Instagram set of abs, you know, golly, give me a break. Okay, let's move on from there. Some of the commercials. So some of these commercials, that was Lady Gaga, so we gave her props. Thank you, Lady Gaga. Let's go on to a couple of these other ones. So you had 84 Lumber. Did you catch this one? 84 Lumber, big, obviously a huge chain of lumber stores in the construction world, very well known, 84 Lumber. So that was a 90-second ad. They originally, the whole thing was almost 5.5 minutes, but they weren't going to run the whole thing because, you know, who could afford that on the Super Bowl? So they ran the 90-second teaser, and it's a mom and her daughter obviously coming up from Mexico trying to work their way to the American border to come in. They're not going to a consulate. They're not going somewhere to put in the paperwork. They're obviously coming to America to try to sneak in illegally. Yes, I said the word illegally. So if you watch the whole thing, and then really tugging at your heartstrings, beautifully filmed, kind of an epic commercial, and you kind of know where it's going because everything's politicized now. The Super Bowl's politicized. We've got to politicize everything, which is sad. But I watched the rest of the ad online. So again, this is 84 Lumber. They get close enough. They're coming up on the border of America, and then there it is, right? So you see construction going on. They cut to some construction scenes during this video, and then there it is, this big brand new wall that looked to be 15 or 20 feet tall. And the daughter's, you know, starting to get weepy, and the mom is starting to cry. They've come all this way to come to the land of opportunity, albeit illegally. And then there's no way, and there's a wall. And then they pull out a pan shot. You know, obviously computer generated graphics, at least for now. And you got the big giant wall, and now it's, you know, now you're supposed to feel horrible. You're supposed to feel horrible because now this wonderful woman just trying to care for herself and her daughter comes to America, and bam, they run right smack dab into a wall. Then they see some sunlight or something coming through. It appears to be a crack. So they walk around the corner, and there's this big, beautiful set of doors. It looks like the doors to the holy place, or the most holy place, big, crazy, beautiful doors, and a guy driving away. They show him somewhere else in a pickup truck who obviously purchased a bunch of things from 84 Lumber and built a door with no handle, no lock in it, on the wall so that inviting people in. Then at the end of the ad, this is 84 Lumber, says, "The will to succeed is always welcome here." So what's up with that whole ad, right? Obviously, it was, if you build a wall on your border anywhere, it's hateful, it's exclusionary, it's not loving, it's not kind. Now, 84 Lumber claiming that they've got a bunch of jobs they're trying to fill too, so that could be their excuse for the will to succeed is always welcome here. I wonder if 84 Lumber would live that statement out. And you go to 84 Lumber and you want to succeed, you want to be rich. So you start embezzling, you start cheating, you start lying about your manager, so that you can, you know, succeed. The will to succeed is always welcome here. No, it isn't. You can't naturally live that statement out. The will to succeed according to the rules, according to respect, according to dignity, to play by the law, to play by the rules of the organization. Okay, the will to succeed in general is awesome, but was that what that was about? Of course not. Is it wrong for somebody to want to come to America? No, this country was built by immigrants, right? Legal immigrants and now many illegal immigrants. But 84 Lumber went so far out on a limb on this one as to make a blanket statement that any type of a wall, any type of a way to secure a nation's sovereign borders is just wrong, if not downright evil. And so playing at the heartstrings. And of course, it's just ridiculous. It was offensive to me. And I had this conversation last week with one of my classes of homeschoolers that I teach. We were talking about the wall and Syrian refugees and the quote-unquote Muslim ban and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they're millennials, so they're, you know, they have big hearts, as they should, not tempered by any wisdom or life experience yet, but big hearts, and you know, they're kind of wrestling with it. And I said, hey, listen, you go to the mall. I might have talked about this on Friday. And you see doors at the mall. Does that offend you? Does it offend you to see doors at the mall? Does it offend you to see hours of operation? If you go to the mall at 3 o'clock at night and the doors are locked, are you offended by that? Do you feel unloved? Do you feel pushed to the side that all of a sudden people just hate you? Of course not. Why? Because the mall has a right to operate itself according to its own rules and regulations and to hours of operation, right? You see a fence around somebody's house, do you assume they're the most hateful people on your block? No. Why not? Because it's their property and they have a right to protect and define their property. You can find that in the Old Testament. Private property rules right there in the Old Testament, baby. It's a biblical concept, of course. So 84 Lumber, pathetic. We'll talk about Airbnb when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always. Today, kind of working our way through the Super Bowl. An incredible finish, was it not? I went old school, listened to the finish, listened to the overtime as long as it lasted, which wasn't very long, in the car on the radio. That was old school. You know, paying homage, perhaps, to the to my media of choice here on Call to Action Radio. But that was an incredible game, obviously, but the commercials, we were talking about that. Lady Gaga, I said, thank you, Lady Gaga, four words I didn't think I'd ever say on this show, but I said them, and I just said them again. That's like the fifth time. Thank you, Lady Gaga, for that non-political halftime show. So that was good. Talked about the 84 Lumber ad. Make sure you go check that out and consider that. See if you're being played, because you are. We're all being played all the time. You know, Fox News, Fair and Balanced, they're playing you. CNN, they're playing you. MSNBC, they're playing you. Everything on Facebook, Twitter, everybody's playing everybody. We're all pushing an agenda to sit there and say, oh, I'm objective. No, you're not. And neither am I. And we don't need to apologize for that. But to see the Super Bowl ads, which, you know, everything's politicized now. We can't not politicize things. So over and over and over it went. I think the Hyundai commercial, by the way, which I think was towards the end or even after the game was over, regular, I don't remember when they played it. That was awesome. If you haven't seen that, I posted that at Facebook too, facebook.com/C2A radio. That's the radio Facebook page. Facebook.com/C2A, as in called to action, the number two, C2A radio. And you can see it there. I put that up there. A great tribute to our troops and really a beautiful, the technology was so cool. So they took three of our soldiers, I think two men and a woman, that were over deployed, and they brought their families to the Super Bowl and then set them up with these 3D cameras, right? So then they bring them into this hangar. It looked like a big hangar. One at a time, and they bring them into these rooms, this little high-tech, you know, built room out in the middle of the floor, all enclosed, and they go in there, and these screens, like almost like 360-degree screens, they sit in the middle, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're like live at the Super Bowl with their loved one, husband, wife, child, all that kind of stuff. It was just awesome, and so they sat there and watched the rest of the game, like in three, like you're there, 360-degree camera. So you ever see that on your smartphone, your iPhone or whatever, and you kind of look and you turn your camera this way and that way, and it's like you're on scene, you're looking up, you're a little bit like virtual reality. So that was really cool. God bless Hyundai. That was an awesome move there. Really cool. But then there was, did you catch the Airbnb commercial? And then before I get too far into this, in the last segment of the show today, I'm going to play a clip. So Milo Yiannopoulos, who's the guy from Breitbart, real open homosexual, very conservative, If you ever watch his videos, be forewarned because he's it's really choice language. But he was at an event. I found it on YouTube when he was asked about his views on being homosexuality. I mean, being born this way, like Lady Gaga saying about at the Super Bowl thing, being born this way or choosing it in Christianity. And once you hear this uber conservative, really out there, a man who lives a homosexual lifestyle, talk about this issue in terms of being a homosexual and not being choosing to get out of it. I mean, you're going to know yet another reason why UC Berkeley almost wanted to get burned to the ground, because the left, the hardcore left, especially the LGBTQ community, the activists, they don't want this guy speaking up like this ever. So I'm going to play that in the last segment of the show. Really, really fascinating look into this guy's mind. Really, really an incredible thing that you got to hear. Milo Yiannopoulos. So we'll play that in the fourth quarter here of the show. So Airbnb. They had it beautifully done. All these commercials, most of them are beautifully done. And people's faces, you know, one person's left hand of their face on the left side of the screen, right side of the face on the right side of the screen, different people, right? Molding back and forth through, obviously, different types of people. And here's what appears on the screen. Here's what the commercial says. We believe, no matter who you are, where you're from, who you love, or who you worship, we all belong. At the end, it says, the world is more beautiful the more you accept. Hashtag we accept. Now, what do you make of that? What do you do with that? We believe no matter who you are, where you're from, who you love, or who you worship, we all belong. The world is more beautiful the more you accept. Hashtag we accept. Now, is the notion beautiful? Is the notion biblical? All tribes, all tongues, all nations, all people, neither Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, neither woman nor man, the scriptures, it's all beautiful, all made in God's image, in essence. And then the beautiful diversity of mankind, the human race, the one human race. Beautiful, right? And you should love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when you look at a diversity kind of commercial like this that Airbnb put out there, and you know, there's a political statement, there's a cultural statement behind it. It's kind of like the coexist bumper sticker. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, when I see the coexist bumper sticker, I go, yes and no. Yes, I need to love my neighbor as myself. So I should easily be able to coexist with people unless, you know, they're trying to kill you, i.e. a fundamental good Muslim who wants to be like Muhammad. I can't coexist with them. The only thing you're left with there is to leave the area or kill them. So that's a reality. But coexist, the real meaning of that bumper sticker is, hey, they're all basically the same. They all coexist. All their truth claims, hey, let's not step on each other's toes, except all their truth claims cross over each other on the coexist bumper sticker. So when you see this, I try to take every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God according to the scriptures. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's beautiful. I can see through this with my godly eyes that all men and women, regardless of sexual orientation, party affiliation, socioeconomic status, all people made in the image of God with inestimable worth. And I think you and I both need to remember that more often, because I spent years treating people that were outside of a conservative Christian worldview. Whether I said it openly, it was certainly in my head and certainly in my heart. I didn't think of them in some kind of equal terms, but Jesus died for them just as much as he died for me. He loves them just as much as he loves me. And so you got to remember that as we approach people. And I think in this highly politicized, highly divided states of America, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, let's not be who they expect us to be, which is highly divisive, judgmental, condemning, blah, 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 blah. Now I haven't lost an inch on the truth, but like we talked about the other day, you have to have grace there too. Remember that truth. If you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. If you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 14, full of grace and truth. You got to remember that. But when you get this Airbnb commercial, the world is more beautiful the more you accept, hashtag accept. Who doesn't get accepted much in America anymore? Well, for one thing, Trump voters, right? Not a lot of acceptance there. Because once you contradict or come against the truth claims of the diversity crowd, the diversity issue no longer applies. We're not going to tolerate you. you're intolerant, so we'll be intolerant towards you. The rules of the game change depending on who they're trying to apply them to. So when you watch the Airbnb thing, we accept you as long as you either, number one, this is preferable, agree with us, agree with a liberal worldview, agree with a liberal view on human sexuality, even on gender, on politics. As long as you agree with us, we accept you. That's awesome. But as soon as you disagree with them, and if you disagree with the liberal left with any kind of vigor, they don't accept you anymore. Do you think the people at Airbnb, if I sat down and had dinner with them and we just started talking about different issues, do you think they would feel like hashtag we accept Steve Noble? No, I don't think they would. Now, the question for us, the question for you, the question for me as a follower of Jesus Christ is, how do you operate in a world like this? Which, by the way, isn't really, we have more technology, we have more knowledge, we have more quote-unquote experience. But Solomon was right. King Solomon was right. There really is nothing new under the sun. So how do we operate in this increasingly highly charged, highly divided world in which we live here in the United States of America as a Christ follower? How do you operate in that? Because this stuff, you go, hey, you know what? There's so much of this. You know, I believe, can you say this? No matter who you are, where you're from, who you love, or who you worship, that you belong. Well, God loves you, and I do too. God has inestimable worth for you, and so do I. Jesus Christ died for you on a cross because that's how much he loves you, and I acknowledge that and agree with that. I think that's awesome. But you get into this accept thing, hashtag accept, they're not going to accept you. They didn't accept him either, and that's something that's so important for us to remember as followers of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are. By the way, if you're not sure, if you were to die today and you weren't sure, I think I'd go to heaven, Steve. I hope I'd go to heaven, Steve. You know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I believe in God. Da, 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 da. What I want you to do is, I mean, blow off the radio show right now. Just go to the website. I know that sounds cheesy, but there's a reason behind it. C2AToday.com. Okay. C2AToday.com. The letter C, the number two, the letter A, call to action. C2AToday.com. And at the top of the page, there's a little button that's circled and it says heaven. Press that button. Because the Bible says that these things are written, the things in the Bible, were written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not, I hope so. Not, I think so. But I know so. And if you don't know so, the most important thing you can get from this show today or any day that I'm on the air is the truth of what God says about how you can go to heaven. So go to C2AToday.com at the top of the page. Click on the heaven button. Great little short video. Some passages of scripture, a real easy way to understand what does God and his word say about how you go to heaven. It's all right there for you. We'll finish up when we come back right after this. Welcome back to Steve Noble Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Super Bowl plus one. And, you know, it's hard to tell. I hope you at least enjoyed the evening. Lady Gaga, we gave her props earlier, talking about some Super Bowl commercials, some highly politicized ones. And, hey, that's the world we live in now. That shouldn't freak anybody out. It's okay if it offends you. But it shouldn't surprise any of us that that's going to be happening. So we talked about the 84 Lumber. We gave our shout out to Hyundai, who did an awesome pro-military commercial. Plus, they brought three families in, military families in, and hooked them all up via 360 cameras. So they kind of watched the Super Bowl together, kind of, from around the world. So that would be really cool today. A really cool thing that they did yesterday. Then the 84 Lumber ad, which is really anti-national sovereignty. It's evil for you to build a wall because wonderful people like the sweet Mexican lady and her daughter can't get illegally into the country. So that was out there. There was that one, Airbnb, hashtag we accept. Of course, you know, you don't get accepted if you start to push back against the liberal agenda or an anti-Christian worldview. You start talking about Jesus, you start talking about sin, you start talking about truth and justice and conservatism, and you start talking about limited government and personal freedoms and personal accountabilities, and all of a sudden, that's not going to go so well for you. So you remember what happened at UC Berkeley, the riots thing started to come unglued there because Milo Yiannopoulos was coming to speak. If you don't know Milo, he's a part of Breitbart, Breitbart.com, and very out, flamboyant, foul-mouthed, homosexual man who happens to be conservative. And so a really interesting, I wanted to play this clip because it's fascinating to me. And this is one of the reasons why the left hates Milo. On the issue of homosexuality, you will rarely hear a homosexual man or woman talk about the issue of homosexual behavior the way Milo has in the past. And so this is from something he did just a few years back when he was asked by the guy interviewing. Milo's just sitting on a stage, and he was asked about homosexuality. And in the interview, I'd heard that Milo would have chosen not to be a homosexual. So a really, really interesting interview here. But once you hear the content of it, this is about 2.5 minutes long, you'll know why the left hates somebody like Milo. They hate anybody that says that there's a way out of the homosexual lifestyle. And then you add to it a conservative worldview, conservative politically, conservative on all kinds of things. It's really amazing. So I want you to check this out. This is Milo Yiannopoulos. Really an amazing interview that he did not that long ago on the issue of his homosexual behavior.
You said in a conversation with Joe Rogan that you would choose not to be gay if you could, and that everyone should. Can you expand on why this is and answer whether or not you think others can choose their orientation?
So the gay lobby started a big lie in the 80s. Now, the religious right was saying that homosexuality was a sinful lifestyle choice. It was an immoral way to behave, an immoral set of decisions that you were making. It was based on Christian doctrine that, you know, you hate the sin, not the sinner, right? So you can love this person, but what they do is not making God happy. So Christians would say homosexuality is a sinful lifestyle choice. The gay lobby were kind of stumped by this because, of course, according to the Christian's own set of values, yeah, it is. There's not much, no way you can go from that, really. So what they did is they kind of came up with this gay gene thing. It's like, wait a minute. What if we're like black people? What if we were born this way and we've got no way to change it? That would make everybody who doesn't like us into the most massive bigots.
All right, so this is Milo Yiannopoulos. This is the guy that was going to speak at UC Berkeley the other week when everything went ballistic. And as you listen to his answers and his conversation here about homosexuality in general, the homosexual lobby, the kind of the radical side of the homosexual agenda, then he's an open homosexual himself. And as you listen to this, you start to go, okay, I know why the left hates this guy.
Let's go with that. So they invented Born This Way, which is now a cultural trope, even in, you know, a couple of years ago in Lady Gaga's songs. But it's a lie. It's not true. The science suggests that it's a mixture of nature and nurture. Steven Pinker thinks it's mostly nurture. In my own experience, it's certainly mostly nurture. I think when I said on the show, if I could choose not to be gay, I probably would, I meant it because it's more difficult being homosexual. I mean, I get a lot of mileage out of it, but I'd quite like to have kids, and I'm not sure that I want to bring kids up in a gay household because so much of sexual orientation is nurture. I don't want to be responsible for, you know, for him or her not having the best possible, easiest life. I mean,
now that's an amazing statement, isn't it? He's talking about because he would like to be straight because he would like to have kids, but he wouldn't want to bring kids up in a gay home because it's so much about nurture. Nurture being the environment that you're raised in. And then for a lot, if you get to know the stories of homosexual people that are in the homosexual lifestyle, you find out there are some markers there. There's some things that are common. Oftentimes it's a personality type where it's, you know, some guys, and we're really bad about the definition of manhood, what makes you a quote unquote real man, where some guys want to go play war and guns and sports and stuff. And there's other young boys that don't. They want to cook, or they want to do art, or they want to do things like that, that aren't kind of prototypical manly man kind of things. And then you start to see, you know, we shun people like that a little bit. We start making them feel like they're not normal, like there's something outside. And then the conditions at home, that's the nurture part. And then in many people that are in the homosexual lifestyle, somebody at some point earlier on in life kind of makes a move on them. They're already feeling like they're outsiders and they're feeling rejected. And then somebody comes along and you know, introduces the sexual side of it. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know why you struggle with this and you feel like an outsider? Because you're gay. But we'll love you. We'll take care of you. And so there's that tribe there that's waiting for you because a lot of people have left you outside, have treated you like you don't belong. And so Milo's working through that in a very open and honest answer and caring about a potential of children, not raising them in a gay home because he wouldn't want them to be gay. And this is a large reason why the left hates Milo.
If we could choose, we would all have our children, you know, heterosexual, if only to give them a happier, better chance in life, better start, to spare them pain. For myself, like I said, I'm kind of stuck in the rut now. I try it once a year just to make sure that I still don't like it.
He's talking about heterosexuality.
I find a willing volunteer, and it's never much fun. I get bored after 10 minutes. And I think, no. I probably would have changed it. If I could take a pill and change it overnight, maybe. Probably not now, because it would be professionally disastrous. I have to wait a few years. You know what I do want to do, though? I do want to do that pray the gay away therapy, just to see if it works. Because lots of people say it works, and lots of people say it doesn't work. And people say it doesn't work, it's always bigoted, hateful, religious, you know, nonsense. But there are just as many people who you will never hear about because the media doesn't want to report on them, who say, yeah, transform my life. I've got a wife, and I've got kids, and I'm happy now, and I wasn't before. There are all kinds of explanations that, you know, the left will come up with, as, you know, well, you've just internalized bigotry or whatever. But I'd quite like to try it and see.
Now, isn't that one of the most interesting little interviews you've ever heard, especially on the issue of homosexual behavior? And so there he is. And that's just holy cow. Talk about making yourself a target. Milo Yiannopoulos, who's already a target on any number of reasons, but especially that. The biggest sacred cow on the left easily is abortion. Has been for years. It's the biggest sacred cow. You don't question it. You don't go after it. You don't stop worshiping it. I mean, that because it is the ultimate kind of middle finger, pardon my French, to God, that you don't care about human life. We'll do whatever we want. Including we'll do whatever we want with this child. And then we'll pretend that it's not a child, that it's just a clump of cells, because you do have a conscience. God's given everybody a conscience. So now you got to stick your fingers in your ear and go la, 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 because you don't want to hear from your conscience, which is telling you that it's murder. But then the second biggest sacred cow in the liberal world, which may supplant abortion, is the whole issue of human sexuality. And now you got a full gender in there, too, because it's just all this rejection of this quote-unquote rigid, hateful notion that there is a holy God who has holy standards and expects everybody else to follow them. And if you don't, you are condemned by your own unholiness. So you listen to this, and I'll put this video up on Facebook. I actually did it earlier today, so it's at the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, and you listen to this guy who clearly would like to be down a different road. Clearly would like to have children, but doesn't want to bring them up in a gay home. Clearly, there's something in him that doesn't want to be in the world that he's in terms of his sexuality. And I believe that's true of every human being, that whether it's your sexuality, hetero or homo, we know that we're separated. There's no such thing as an atheist, because I believe Romans chapter 1, God has made it plain so that men are without excuse. Everybody knows. God is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and everybody knows he exists. There's no such thing as an atheist. I do not believe that there's any human being that's actually an atheist. Now, quite glibly, I'll say atheists are just agnostics with an attitude problem. But let's remember, we go into the Super Bowl expecting Lady Gaga to go all political. She doesn't. We assume the worst. We watch these ads, and we're getting played all the time. And it really makes, I don't know about you, but it really makes it difficult for me not to harden my heart and to be coarse towards people that don't agree with a biblical worldview. That's been happening since Jesus's day. And where he loved people and told them the truth and used grace, he called out the religious big mouths of the day. Let's try to work harder to pattern ourselves after the way Jesus did it. Let's love people where they're at, clearly and concisely and lovingly and patiently and compassionately explain the gospel, explain the truth of God's word. And then don't expect to be popular. Don't expect people to like you for it. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us too. But we love them in return. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.